translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Karan Arana Bhashyai Vishnu is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and He is the master of eternal time, space, cause and effects, mind, the elements, the material ego, the modes of nature, the senses, the universal form of the Lord, Gorbhadakshay Vishnu, and the sum total of all living beings, both moving and non-moving. Purport. That the material creation is not permanent has been discussed many times here and before. The material creation is but a temporary exhibition of the material energy of the Almighty Lord. The material manifestation is necessary to give a chance to the conditioned souls who are unwilling to associate with the Lord in the relationship of loving transcendental service. Such unwilling conditioned souls are not allowed to enter into the liberated life of spiritual existence because at heart they are not willing to serve. Instead, they want to enjoy themselves as imitation gods. The living entities are constitutionally eternal servitors of the Lord, but some of them, because of misusing their independence, do not wish to serve. Therefore, they are allowed to enjoy the material nature, which is called Maya, or illusion. It is called illusion because the living beings under the clutches of Maya are not factually enjoyers, although they think that they are, being illusioned by Maya. Such illusion living entities are given a chance at intervals to rectify their perverted mentality of becoming false masters of the material nature. And they are imparted lessons from the Vedas about their eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Vedesha sarver ameva vidya. So the temporary creation of the material manifestation is an exhibition of the material energy of the Lord. And to manage the whole show, the Supreme Lord incarnates himself as the Karan Arana Vashyai Vishnu, just as a magistrate is deputed by the government to manage affairs temporarily. This Karunadakshay Vishnu causes the manifestation of material creation by looking over his material energy, Sa-Aikshita. In the first volume of this book, we have already discussed to some extent the explanation of the verse Jagre Porusham Rupam. The duration of the illusory play of material creation is called Kalpa, and we have already discussed the creations taking place in Kalpa after Kalpa. By his incarnation and the activities of his potencies, the complete ingredients of creation, namely time, space, cause, result, mind, the gross and subtle elements, and the interactional modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, and the senses and their reservoir source, the gigantic universal form as the second incarnation, Gorbhadakshay Vishnu, and all living beings, both moving and standing, which come out of the second incarnation, all become manifested. Ultimately, all these creative elements and the creation itself are but manifestations of the Supreme Lord's potencies. Nothing is independent of the control of the Supreme Being. This first incarnation in the material creation, namely Karan Arana Vashyai Vishnu, is the plenary part of the original personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, described in the Brahma Samhita 548 as follows. Yashyaika nishvashita kala matavalambhya Jivantiloma vilaja jagadandanata Vishnur mahansa ihayasya kala vishesho Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. All the innumerable universes are maintained only during the breathing period of Mahavishnu, Karana Arana Vashyai Vishnu, who is only a plenary part of Govinda, the original personality of Godhead Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrachatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sati Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarupyascha Kipa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhara Shri Vashari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So as most of you know, this is not really where I normally sit. I'm usually over there with the harmonium where I'm in my comfort zone. But today, by the encouragement of some devotees, and they asked a few times and I said no because I really don't like doing this. But still, I think it's important for my own self-development that I learn how to appreciate and to be able to share whatever little I know according to my small amounts of realization. It's not even realization really, but I'm praying to Krishna that he kindly guides my tongue. He's in control ultimately. And Srila Prabhupada, if you find it in your desire, then please also bless me that I can say something of use for the devotees so that they can be happy with me. Okay, so first and foremost, I want to open it up and be honest. Please tell me, did you understand the purport? How many of you were reading along with it? And how many were in a sleep mode? Be honest, it's okay. I can appreciate. One thing that's really helped me, and this is a point which I think is... Yeah. Of course I can. Does it help? It keeps my brain in a musical way, I can think. Okay, no problem. When we're hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam class in the morning, it always helps to have the verse in front of us because it means that we're actively showing that we're trying to participate in hearing what is being spoken. So when I first read it, I have to be honest, I had to read this verse 3 times before anything went in. It was a real moment of realizing that I'm not very intelligent, and I need to read things 3 times before anything comes. And the first thing that struck me was this name, Karna Arna Vashyai Vishnu. Now, we've heard of Mahavishnu, we've heard of Karna Dakshyai Vishnu, we've heard of Garbha Dakshyai Vishnu, we heard of Shiro Dakshyai Vishnu, but Karna Arna Vashyai Vishnu, I haven't heard of before. I'm not familiar. So I wanted to first start by that point. What are these different Vishnus? How can we understand them? Well, from reading this 3 times over, I came to the conclusion that Karna Arna Vishnu is non-different from Mahavishnu. It's the same. Krishna is the original person, we know that. And in the translation, it said, Karna Arna Vashyai Vishnu is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord, which I understand is Mahavishnu. So Mahavishnu, from whom... Who lies on a causal ocean on the bed of Anantashesh, through the pores of Mahavishnu's skin come the multiple universes, the innumerable universes. And then from Karna Arna Vashyai, Mahavishnu, Karna Dakshyai Vishnu, all the same, just different names, okay? From this Vishnu comes the other two Vishnus, known as Garbha Dakshyai Vishnu and Shiro Dakshyai Vishnu. Garbha Dakshyai Vishnu enters into each universe and creates life within them. And Shiro Dakshyai Vishnu enters into each atom, and in fact, in Paramatma itself. So within every living entity, Shiro Dakshyai Vishnu is there, Paramatma. So these are 3 different Vishnus. Lost? With me? Okay, 3 different Vishnus. So in this particular verse, Lord Brahma is speaking about the glories of the cosmic manifestation of the Lord. Speaking about how the Lord is present everywhere in the universal form. And in this way, we get to hear about the amazing ability of the Lord to do several, in fact, innumerable things. It's discussed in the translation that he's the master of eternal time, space, cause, effects, mind, the elements, the material ego, the modes of nature, the senses, the universal form of the Lord, Govardhanshay Vishnu, and the sum total of all living beings, both moving and non-moving. It's a pretty big job, if you ask me. Quite a lot of things that the Lord is doing. And one can think, why is the Lord doing this? You know, ultimately, what is the purpose for the Lord doing all of these innumerable activities? For someone like us, you know, to control time is a difficulty. You know, to try and mold time in our lives is a difficulty. But what to speak of all the other things the Lord is doing, why is the Lord doing this? And Prabhupada in the purport explains, why is the Lord doing all of these various things? Ultimately, the Lord is doing it because it gives the conditioned soul an opportunity for association with the Lord. The universal form is doing all of this, all of these activities, so that we can associate with the Lord ultimately. That's the purpose. And when I read this, I was thinking, what love, isn't it? What love. It's amazing how the Lord is doing all of these things, maintaining the entire universe for the purpose, Prabhupada writes, so that we can associate with the Lord for that purpose. And you can't force someone to love you. We know that. You can't force anyone to love you. No matter how hard I sing on the harmonium, you can't force anyone to love me. But what you can do is to create favorable situations for your love to be shown. Right? You can put in a lot of endeavor to show your love. So in the same way, the Lord is going through all of this. For him, it's not a big deal, I know, but he's doing all of these amazing feats just so that he can show us that he loves us, that he wants us to associate with him. So in that way, we can go a little underneath the surface of trying to see what is the Lord doing in doing this. Is it just for his own sake that he's creating the material universe's time, space, managing everything, or is it really just to give us the opportunity to associate with him through love? Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, Nadhanam najanam nasundarim kavitam vajagad isha kamaye mama janmani janmani ishwari bhavatad bhakti rahaita kitvai. O my Lord, O Lord of the universe, I do not want wealth, I do not want many followers, I do not want a nice wife. All I want birth after birth is to engage in your unalloyed devotional service. Because when we engage with the Lord who's at every moment, at every step, showing us that he cares about us, that one of the qualities of the Lord is magnanimous, that if at every step the Lord is showing us that he wants to care about us, then let's engage in also reciprocating with that love by saying, by announcing to the Lord that all I want is you. You know, all I want is you. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that there are different ways in which we can practice religion. So hear this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the first way that one person can practice religion is through fear, bhaya, that if I don't chant my 16 rounds, what's going to happen? You know, there's some danger afoot. The second way that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that higher than bhaya, higher than fear, is by doing it out of asha, that desire for material things, that if I chant, if I help by cleaning the temple room, then maybe the Lord will hear my prayer for a nice Ferrari or, you know, something nice in my bank account, or maybe a nice wife, you know, will come if I do the service. Then higher than asha, so you've got bhaya, fear, asha, which is material desire, then higher than that is kartavya, which is duty. That Krishna has done so much for me, Srila Prabhupada has done so much for me, so let me reciprocate with all of the love that's being shown out of duty, and let me do something for Krishna. So that's still high, you know, to practice devotional service out of duty. But the highest is to practice religion out of love. Anya balashita shunyam, unmotivated, uninterrupted. To practice religion, to connect with Krishna out of love is the highest. And, Sutta Prabhu, His Holiness Swayam Bhagavan Keshava Maharaj says a beautiful story that I had to write down when he said it. He says that once a Sufi lady, hear this, a Sufi lady is carrying two buckets through a town. One bucket is blazing with fire, and the other bucket has got water inside. The Sufi lady, old lady, walking through the town with two buckets, one with fire, the other with water. And the person walks past and says, "Why have you got this bucket? What's the reason for this bucket?" And the Sufi lady explains, "Yeah, with the water, I want to extinguish the fires of hell." And the person says, "What about the bucket of fire? With the bucket of fire, I want to burn up the heavens." The person says, "Wow, this is far out. Why do you want to do that?" The Sufi lady explains, I have to read it. It's Maharaj says it so nicely, that I want to extinguish hell and burn up heaven to teach people that religion is not about avoiding hell. Religion is not about going to heaven, but ultimately about loving God. Loving God. You know, how can we get to the place, the platform whereby we're not practicing out of fear? We're not practicing out of duty. We're not practicing out of material desire. We're practicing out of love. How can we get to that point is the question. The Lord is ultimately showing us so many ways in which He's loving us by giving us so much. So how can we reciprocate with the love that the Lord is giving us? And this is real religion. To practice on the platform of love is real religion. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's the famous verse, Savai Pum Shamparo Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radoksaje Ahaituki Apratihata Yayatma Suprasidati. That real religion, real way of practicing Krishna consciousness is with Priti Purvakam, with love, with that has no desire, that has no other motive. And so Srimad Bhagavatam rejects all of this various types of cheating religion, that I do something for the Lord and therefore the Lord has to reciprocate with me. You know, when you're in a loving relationship, it doesn't work like that. You can't say, you know, "Dear, please, I love you. Please now make me a cup of tea." You know, it has to be unmotivated. That it has to be with that mood that I don't want anything in return. I simply want to glorify you, my Lord. And you know, it's common, especially in Hindu circles, to practice for some benefit. And let me be honest with you, after, I don't know, maybe it's been 15, 20 years since I've been trying to be a devotee, and even now when I turn to the altar, I can't help but ask for something. Have you noticed that when you go before the Lord, and even at Govindam Adipurusham, "Govindam, give me this and that." You know, it's never, "My Lord, you're the Adi Purush. You're everything that is in my, I don't need anything. You're already giving me so much." It's this culture of, "Oh God, give me a house by the sea, a flat screen color TV, a 50 million gigabyte MP3, Om Jai Jagadish Hare." You know, that we live in this culture, especially in my mind, I live in a culture where I'm always bartering with the Lord, that, "My Lord, please give me this and that, and then only I'll chant my rounds nicely. Then only I'll rise in the morning, out of duty, out of fear maybe I'm doing, but out of love, how can we get to that platform?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adi Leela at the beginning, Mahaprabhu says, "Apani achari bhakti karila prachar." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "I will come to this world and teach devotional service to the chanting of the holy name." Mahaprabhu explained this. And towards the end of the Adi Leela, Mahaprabhu explains, "Japite japite mantra karila pagal." That by chanting this holy name again and again, I will become completely mad in Krishna consciousness, completely in love with Krishna. Therefore, the goal of Krishna consciousness is to go completely mad, you know. Even though we try to be cultured, you know, to be cultured in our dealings with devotees, cultured in our approaches of our service. But ultimately, we have to have that one single focus, that one day, let my mind and heart go wildly mad for Krishna. When will that day come, my Lord, where I turn to you with tears in my eyes and just say, "All I need is you. You know, all I need is you, my Lord." That I don't need all the other fancy things that, you know, the mind is conjuring. All I need is all I need is to see you. All I need is to be with you. George Harrison says it most sweetly, better than I can. So therefore, the goal is to go completely mad in love with Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, in a letter to a GBC, he writes, that you have all of these duties, this is how you perform your duties as a GBC. But ultimately, in the final line of that letter, Srila Prabhupada writes that ultimately one should be aiming to go completely mad after Krishna. Completely mad after Krishna. And that's true wealth. You know, to be mad after Krishna is true wealth. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, there is this verse, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavam Priyam. And the translation is not to work for material gain, but to attain love. Then we're truly wealthy. It's written in this verse. Then we're truly wealthy. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he elaborates on this and also explains that, if I don't have love for Krishna, then I should be considered a very poor soul. There's this verse, Prema dana vina vyarta daridra jivan dasakari vetan more deha prema dan. In a CC Antya Lila, if you're a note taker, 2037, CC Antya 2037, that if I don't have love for Krishna, then I should be considered a very poor soul, ultimately. And who is poor? If you don't have money, that's not poor, according to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you don't have name and fame, that's not poor. That's not real poor. One is poor who doesn't have love for Krishna. Then we can see, do I have real wealth or do I have just something poor? Dasakari, make me your servant, my Lord. Dasakari, make me your servant. Betan more. And as your servant, I want one salary. Give me love for you. Give me love for you, my Lord. So, we can sometimes think that, we can get wrapped up in our day-to-day duties, and I appreciate in the Srimad Bhagavatam class, we are trying to get to a point where we receive some inspiration so we can go about our devotional service in this day with some spiritual strength, with some consciousness that this day be for Krishna. And so this point of going mad for Krishna, it should be, a long-term goal. That in every dealing with devotees, let us think that, this is ultimately this dealing. Bhakti Tirthamar says that in this dealing with devotees, in every instance, let me interact with devotees like my spiritual life depends on it. Like my spiritual life depends on it. Every interaction with devotees, that my spiritual life depends on it. Because ultimately, we're all mercy cases, right? Let's be honest. I can speak for myself only. I'm a mercy case. I don't know how to dress properly. I don't know how to speak properly. I don't know how to sing properly. I don't know how to... There's so many things. Krishna knows, I'm pretty useless, ultimately. I'm a mercy case. And so, being a mercy case, I have to beg from the devotees that they kindly give me the knowledge, the realization that my life's goal is to become mad after Krishna. So being mercy cases, we have to be conscious in our dealings with devotees that this interaction, my spiritual life might depend on it. You make a mad elephant offense of offending the devotees in Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. No more Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. It'll all go out the window. And so, Bhakti Tirthamar speaks about how we should depend on the mercy of devotees by each interaction with devotees becoming conscious that our spiritual life depends on it. In chanting the holy names, it's not just for japa time. I'm speaking to myself here. It's not just for 5 o'clock in the morning. But let us chant Harinam 24/7, 24 hours, 7 days a week, even when we're sleeping. What do you think, Krishna? Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gornitai ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we can today approach the Lord with this mood that, please, my Lord, you kindly guide my mind, guide my acts, guide my thoughts, so that one day I may become completely mad after you, that every action is done in a desire to please you, that everything is done ultimately so that I can reciprocate with your love that you're showing me at every moment, that my service is infused with bhakti. Because there's two ways to do our devotional service, right? There's doing it in a way where it's just get it over and done, or doing it consciously. And consciously for Krishna, it's something that I forget often, that in the service it's not just slave labor. You know, sometimes when we're in the temple, we're cleaning the floors, we're cooking, we're chopping, and you say a little prayer in the morning, and then when you lie in the bed at night, you're thinking, where was Krishna today? Like, you know, you're completely forgetting the Lord is at all even present. It's just, yeah, acting, just engage the body, engage the mind. Yeah, but engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. And so, yeah, if one wants to become Krishna conscious, if one wants to become deeply, madly in love with Krishna, we have to come to the point where we realize that this love for Krishna will come, this love for Krishna will come from the honey bees. If you want to extract nectar, amrita, from a lotus flower, there are two ways to do it. You can either get a pestle and mortar, get the lotus flower, put the lotus flower in the pestle and mortar and start grinding it and try to get the nectar out. You could, I don't know what other ways you could do it, but the intelligent way is to go to the honeybees, to find honeybees, to find those who know how to extract the honey, to find those who know how to love God, how to love Krishna, how to become madly intoxicated with Krishna prema in the heart. And in that way, associating with those honeybees, it becomes very easy. And sometimes we take it for granted. I know myself, in the association of devotees, I can sometimes get carried away talking about this and that. But ultimately, we should see, like, in the association of devotees, how can I ask them, please tell me, dear Prabhu, please tell me, how can I be madly in love with Krishna? What are you doing today to become madly in love with Krishna? And please share it with me. You know, management talk has its time as well, I know. But also, why shouldn't there be time for asking, how can I fall in love with Krishna? Please tell me, how can I fall in love with Krishna? You know, what are your suggestions? And then earnestly practicing that. Because, dasa kari betan more deha premadan. That this is real wealth. This is the salary that one asks for in devotional service. One doesn't want name and fame. In doing devotional service, getting this around the neck isn't everything. You know, in performing devotional service, to have your face on a poster is not everything. You know, to perform devotional service so that others may glorify you, senior devotees may glorify you, that's not the aim. That's not, you know, the aim of devotional service is Vetan Morhi Deha Premadan. Give me love, my Lord. Because I know when I have that love, then all other things will become superfluous, extra. Just like if I take this bottle of water and I put salt inside this bottle of water, a palm full of salt inside this bottle of water, then what will the water taste like, Pulkit? Salty, no? But if I fill the entire temple, I won't, Krishna, but if I fill the entire temple room with water and I add a palm full of salt, the water will taste completely normal, isn't it? Completely normal. So in that way, by flooding the heart with Krishna consciousness, by being conscious of Krishna, flooding the heart, expanding the heart with Krishna consciousness, then the small things of, you know, name, fame, how does Mahaprabhu say it? Nadanam, najanam, nasundarim, kavitam, vajagadisha, kami, mama janmani, janmanishwari, pavatad, bhakti rahai, tukitrai. Oh my Lord, O Lord of the universe, I do not want wealth, I do not want many followers, I do not want a nice wife. Hare Krishna. All I want birth after birth is to engage in your unalloyed devotional service. When we can say that with sincerity, you know, sincerity in the heart, then there's hope for us. And sincerity, does anyone know where the word, you know, we say this a lot in Krishna consciousness, sincerity. Does anyone know where the word sincerity comes from? You go on. If you know it, say it. Olden times, yeah. I'll repeat it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got a mic. Good.
They used to, I'm paraphrasing, I don't know exactly.
It's okay.
But, like, they would sell, like, tiles or some kind of ceramic thing, and to say whether if it had cracks or something in it, they would call it, I think it was sincera, and if it was authentic.
Yeah.
Because often sellers would, like, plaster over the crack so that it looks like it's not broken, but...
Yeah, sincera means without wax.
Without wax, that's it.
Yeah, it's a sincera without wax. So what they would do is people would go to the marketplace and they'd ask the marble seller, is this marble piece sincera? without wax, because they would fill the cracks with wax so that it looks like a genuine piece. But we should be asking, am I sincere? Am I without wax in the heart, without this desire for material gain, without this desire for, I do this, my Lord, and then you, or you do this, my Lord, and then I do my devotional service, bartering with the Lord. And, you know, interestingly enough, Chankyanath Prabhu, he said it in his final days, he said, we should be careful not to pray for that which we do not want. You know, if we go to the Lord and say, my Lord, please don't give me ill health. Please don't do this for me. Don't do that. Then the Lord ultimately will give us that because he knows what will purify us. You know? So bartering with the Lord is never a good idea because he knows then very clearly what you need to go through. Please, my Lord, give me lots of money. The Lord knows, okay, this is an attachment for you. This is something I need to deal with, you know, you need to deal with in this lifetime. So bartering with the Lord is never a good idea. But we just approach the Lord and just say, my Lord, you know everything. You know everything that's going on in my mind, everything that's going on in my heart. You do your thing. I trust you. Please accept me. That's all I want. I just want acceptance from you that you accept me in your service. So, that's what we want. I've run out of notes, so I guess what we can do is turn to you all for your feedback, your comments, and if there's any questions, I'll try my best to answer. But thank you all so much for your kind participation, and Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu, for your class.
Trying.
You spoke so much and so nicely on going mad for Krishna and moving towards practicing, or our motivation being love. So kind of a two-parter. The first part is, are those four motivations, are they steps? Does one progress through those steps? Should we aiming, if we're practicing from fear, should we aim to move to, you know, desire and then to duty? And and then I guess in connection to that is, how do we progressively move in that direction without prematurely acting at a level where we're not and thus causing offense?
Wow. Yeah. Doing devotional service out of fear, then out of duty, etc., all the way to love. Is that a process, is what you're asking? And the second part you asked about whether we should go there, jump there immaturely.
How do we, on a daily level, ensure that we're making progress towards that level of love, and also be conscious of not practicing on a premature level for us, for where we're at?
Yeah. So I don't understand it as a process per se. I didn't read that in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation of it, so I don't want to speculate unless someone knows otherwise that it's a process of going from practicing out of fear towards prema. Prabhupada speaks about how, one can be Krishna conscious in one moment or not after millions of years. In one moment or not after millions of years. So really, we should see that it can happen at any moment and just be ready to be not passionate achievers in our Krishna consciousness, but grateful receivers. That not that I'm practicing Krishna consciousness to achieve something, that I become a big devotee, you know, or that I become recognized for my service, but rather gratefully receive whatever lessons the Lord gives you on a daily basis, to receive those gratefully. And in that way, every moment it's an opportunity for Krishna consciousness. It's not that... You see, it's simple for the simple, and I'm a simple person. You know, I'm not so philosophically minded. I don't have verses spewing out of my ears. I have to prepare for a full day for 20-minute class. It's quite insane. But I'm trying to keep my Krishna consciousness simple. Just chant Hare Krishna and receive whatever the Lord gives with both my hands. I'm saying, okay, even if you take me to the there's a Christian saying, even if you take me to the steelwork, you know, and start hammering me with your bitter mercy, then let me not complain. Let me still receive that with open arms, because I'm in your hands ultimately anyway. So in answer to your question, with good guidance, one doesn't feel that you're getting there immaturely, or, you know, you're doing it prematurely, you said, prematurely. not getting there prematurely. But under good guidance, we don't have to become, artificially crying, oh, I love Krishna, I love Krishna. That's not what I'm saying. Under good guidance, you know, we learn what does it mean to love Krishna. You know, Vaidhi Bhakti is there. Then we're aiming one day, maybe not in this lifetime, but maybe one day I spontaneously turn to the Lord and say, I love you. Have you ever turned to the deity and said the three words, I love you? You know, that's what we're trying to get to the point where I genuinely say it and not just say it with word, not lip deep, but heart deep, that my Lord, I genuinely love you. It can happen in one moment. No, it's not hard to say those three words, but in another sense, it takes a whole lifetime to say it sincerely. So, I don't know if that answered the question.
Mm-hmm. It does. Thank you. No one has any question. I have a follow-up.
Hare Krishna. Prajan Prabhu. Good to see you.
I want to refer to an example through Mother Kalangana.
Yeah.
She was a lover of the devotees.
Yeah.
And to love Krishna, we have to learn to love the devotees in such a way. And I'll give you an example of her spontaneity, of serving the devotees. One day, I just got here, and I was doing some the service I had then. And then I saw her pulling a churn of milk up a rough old path that it used to be from the Goshala. It was really rickety. And she was struggling there, you know. And she was in her 70s. And I said, Mother Kalangana, can I help you?
Yeah.
She says, no. And I said, well, you know, you need help. And she said, I must get the milk for the devotees.
Uh-huh.
I must. It's Janmashtami tomorrow. They need their milk. And then she said, but you must chant. You must chant your rounds. So she was telling me, first give me instruction that I must chant my rounds. So that was completely unmotivated for her. Mm. She was looking after me. But at the same time, her spontaneity was something wonderful. Because I realized from my mother's side that I used to try and help her. And sometimes I would do something for her. And she says, don't do that. I must do it while I can. And then I realized that Mother Kalangana, she was telling me she must do this. It's her service to the devotees. They must have their milk.
Mm.
So we're looking at spontaneity. Something that just happens. Not that we go through a process. It's a learning to appreciate the devotees and serve them. And Krishna loves those who serve his devotees. That's his thing. And there's another verse in Third Canto where it says he feels incomplete without his parts and parcels. That he himself is self-motivated. He feels incomplete because they're not with him. And so you start to see that actually this relationship between the Lord and his devotees is the most important thing where love will spring from.
Yeah, and I'm sure that all the residents at the manor hear this all the time, but this is really a special place. You know, now that my services are taking me to different parts of, different festivals and different parts of the world, whenever I come back here, I'm just blown away by the bhakti that's spewing out of the walls of Bhaktivedanta Manor. It's unbelievable. It's one can't help but just feel like tears start building in the eyes. I think, wow, this Srila Prabhupada's given us everything in this one place, in this one. I don't need to go anywhere. I can just stay here and I can achieve Krishna prema in this lifetime. Yeah. And I think that we just have, like I mentioned earlier, we just have to become conscious of building a relationship with the places of mercy. Become conscious of building relationships with the places of mercy. So with the Vaishnavas, with Bhaktivedanta Manathan, with our devotional service, if we build relationships with those items of mercy, then we'll appreciate them. Then there's nothing blocking us in our consciousness to be grateful. You know, people say, devotees speak a lot about gratitude and being grateful, but how does one build gratitude? By being open to creating relationships with the items of mercy. Then we can appreciate, the manna and the Harinam and holy name. And, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, please. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you. I just wanted to share a reflection, actually, because I was reading the purport. You know, here Prabhupada says, such unwilling conditioned souls are not allowed to enter into the liberated life of spiritual existence because at heart they are not willing to serve.
Right.
So I just was meditating on that, and I just felt we are such difficult children. We are just not willing to serve.
We're such difficult children.
Yeah, we are so. Yeah. We are just not willing to serve. We go through so much, like 8.4 million species, and
sure.
So much of suffering in that. And then Krishna makes the whole arrangement, and then by dint of some good luck, we end up with Srila Prabhupada, and then he creates the whole thing so that we just learn to serve. He writes, you know, he wakes up all night, he writes books, he creates ISKCON, he creates opportunities, but we're just not willing to serve.
Yeah.
I don't know, at least like you said, I can talk for myself, but that willingness to serve, it takes lifetimes, you know, for us to develop.
Yeah. Something you spoke about that sparked something in my mind. One Janmashtami, I remember as a younger boy, I was walking down the field, and one devotee shouted, "Stop just observing and start serving."
Yeah.
You know, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Stop observing, start serving. I was thinking, I'm doing this all the time, you know. in my immaturity, and even now I'm still immature, I'm still learning what is maturity in Krishna consciousness, but even now, you know, I get to a point where I can do things in Krishna consciousness without doing anything. I can just kind of like, float into the kirtan and pretend like I know what I'm doing, and I can observe. And then it's always a correction. Krishna always sends, if one is awake to it, Krishna's always sending signs that just wake up and serve. You know, it sounds sentimental what I'm speaking. But through the examples of great Vaishnavas, you know.
Prabhupada says, I was reading it that during when Tamal Krishna Maharaj was getting initiated, so in that initiation lecture, Prabhupada says, "I've given you everything, now you have to act. So unless you act, this will not make any sense." So it's just like we're really not, I just feel like talking again for myself that, you know, that developing that willingness to serve, putting things into action, it is really like so difficult to grasp.
It's a nice prayer. While you were speaking, I'm just praying, Krishna, please, please make me willing to serve you. You know, you're in control. You make me willing. Thank you. Okay, Maharaj. Hi.
Thank you so much. Hi, maybe just a simple question. He talks so nicely about love, and how love is the goal. Our cherished aspiration is love. Sometimes it just feels like love is so far, feels so lofty, feels so high, feels so far away. So could you just share what are some encouraging signs we should look at in our life, or that we're actually developing some love for Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you. You definitely know more than me on this point. When we look at the point of loving Krishna, it can seem lofty. It seems like the peak of the Himalayas almost. You know, when will I fall in love with Krishna? Probably never, so maybe I don't start ever. Isn't it? That never will I love Krishna, so what's the point in ever starting? But the point is that rather than aiming for perfection on the path, let's look at progress. You know, rather than thinking, I'm not loving Krishna, oh no, let me just give up the whole thing and, you know, go and wallow in my sorrow. Rather let us think, what can I do today to make steps towards that loving interaction? It's like any relationship, isn't it? If you want to love another person, you can't just spontaneously go up to them and say, I love you. It has to happen over time. You know, it's a relationship. It takes time. And so we take steps of progress towards that goal of loving Krishna. And I could give you all the basic things. You do Panch Anga Bhakti. You associate with the devotees. You read from the Srimad Bhagavatam. You chant Harinam. You go to the places of pilgrimage, the holy dham, and you serve the deity. We could speak like this about how to develop love progress on the path towards loving Krishna. But what we're looking for is, while doing that, I'd like to speak about the underlying thing, Bhava Rupa Bhakti and Cheshta Rupa Bhakti. Cheshta Rupa means doing it, just doing it. You know, just doing devotional service, just so that it's checkboxed. I attended Mangalarti. Ding! I helped in, I don't know, transfer service. Ding! I did my kirtan seva, ding, it's Cheshta Rupa Bhakti, just ticking the box. But what we're really looking for is Bhava Rupa Bhakti. Krishna is looking for Bhava, he's looking for the feeling that you're doing for his pleasure. You know, in the Kevalashtakam, it's written, Gayanti Bhakti Bhavena Harir Nam Eva Kevalam. That how does Krishna want us to chant? You know, what does Krishna look for in our chanting? Gayanti bhakti bhavena. Bhakti bhava must be there. That's how one must sing, with bhakti bhava within the heart. Then maybe it tickles the ear of Krishna. Then maybe he becomes interested. So, yes, loving Krishna is a lofty point. I appreciate that fully. But that doesn't mean we should give up progress on the path by consciously. You know, we consciously do so many things. We consciously look in the prasadam queue. Who's there? Who will I talk to? We consciously look in the prasadam pots, which one's my favorite prasad. You know, we're conscious about some things that give us taste. And so developing taste of bhava rupa bhakti comes from associating with devotees who have that. Who have that. Who have a taste for, I love Krishna, I'm doing everything to love Krishna. So then you seek out that devotee, and with all earnestness you ask them, please tell me. What are you doing to love Krishna? How do you love Krishna? In fact, if I can put it as an exercise for you, I don't know if any of you will do it because you're looking, I'm not an author, I don't have any realization or any authority to speak on this, so therefore it's probably just going to fall on deaf ears. But if it, for one devotee who's listening online or in this temple room, practice this, maybe next time you see me, just tell me, how did it go? Ask the question to a Vaishnava, how can I love Krishna today? How can I love Krishna today? What are you doing to love Krishna today? And please explain to me, how can I love Krishna today? That's a nice breakfast conversation, isn't it? Nice breakfast conversation. So my humble plea is, please try, you know, make progress on the path towards loving Krishna. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. We don't have to get there in one day. But get there we must. Yes, Prabhu. I'm sorry, did that help for the broader audience? I hope that was useful. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
That was a great question. I've got something to contribute with that, actually, Prabhu. Because I wrote down there's some particular symptoms of Bhav Bhakti. I think this has come from Nectar of Devotion. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I've listed some of them here. I think there might be seven. I'm not sure. But there's kshanti, perseverance. So that's remaining tolerant even amid disturbance. So, for example, if if you're being disturbed when somebody is speaking badly about you or something like that, if you're completely tolerant, that's a good sign that you're getting close to Bhav-Bhakti. Avyata Kalatvam, utilization of time. So if you're aware of the fact that you've got there's a deadline here, you know, that we need to be using our time very consciously. Vishakti, a complete indifference to objects of sense gratification. Mana, shunyata, absence of false prestige or pridelessness, free from the longing to be shown respect. Ashabandha, hope, absolute certainty that Krishna will eventually bestow his mercy. Samutkanta, an intense eagerness or ardent desire for attaining the supreme object, prema.
Thank you for sharing.
I think there's one more, but I didn't write that one down.
So what's your good name?
Perfect, thank you.
Your good name, Prabhu?
Back to Jason.
Jason, thank you.
Thank you.
The last two are attachment to explaining the qualities, tadguna akyani, qualities of Krishna, I think. Pritis tad vasate stali. To live in a holy place, to be attached to living in a holy place.
Yeah.
Am I still being disturbed when somebody is putting names or
sure.
When I completely,
yeah, it's yeah. I'm just speaking from personal experience that hearing these things growing up in Krishna consciousness, I came to a standpoint maybe about 2 years ago or 3 years ago where I realized that I may know them and be able to recite them, but how many am I living on a daily basis? And I have to be honest, I'm still not even close to one of them. But just by being conscious that today, if I just mark it in the calendar, say if there's X number of qualities one wants to imbibe in their Krishna consciousness, why not have a theme for the day? You know, that today is my day of trying to be conscious in not counting one's rounds, but let me just chant endlessly. You know, that was one of them, no? To chant.
Enjoying counting.
Yeah. 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 Anyway, I think I've spoken enough, and I don't know what the timings are. I think I've overdone it, no? I've overcooked it. Okay, so in which case, thank you all so much. I'm a mercy case. Please kindly be kind upon me and give me the opportunity to learn what it means to love Krishna. And yeah, praying to be of service to each and every one of you sometime soon. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.